Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Match of the Week podcast here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network. I'm Tim, and joining me as always is Tanner. Tanner, how are we doing?
I'm doing well, Tim. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. We had we've had a little bit of a hiatus, but not too long. We are back these next couple of weeks to talk about what we enjoyed over the WrestleMania weekend. And there was a lot to enjoy over WrestleMania weekend. Just in general, this was one of the better, only a few years. This is I think you would probably call it the fourth year where there was a true weekend of events from Thursday through, Sunday, essentially. And this is probably the heaviest amount of action we've seen. And we had a lot to choose from as far as what we wanted to do in regards to this show. And so we're sitting here thinking we're going to do one from the non-WWE section and one from the WWE section of that weekend. And when Tanner and I were talking about what to do for the non-WWE section, that was pretty instantaneous which match we were going to do.
Yeah, I think we both literally sent it in the chat at the same exact time. What match you want to do? And we both literally sent this match at the same time.
Yeah, so it's Joey Janela Spring Break 2. It is Walter versus PCO. It is the match that I think we can safely say that good friend of the podcast, Dylan Hales, that he is pretty much semi-responsible for this.
He definitely spearheaded the PCO revival movement on Twitter, I feel like.
He did, but what happened is Janela sees PCO at a show that worked at the, it might have been a Black Label Pro show, actually, if I remember the story right, and basically enjoyed what he saw from PCO and was like, okay, yeah, how about you come work the show for me? And so in the great way that Janela always announces his matches, this was in a old side-scrolling beat-em-up fighting game like Streets of Rage or Final Fight, where have you. And after the little game is finished, it is announced it's Walter versus PCO. And that really popped our little section of wrestling Twitter pretty hard. There are a lot of people who weren't really sure what to think about this match going in. I know, like you said, I think we very much had it in for this match. We thought it was going to be good, but I think even that exceeded our expectations.
Oh, yeah.
Going in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, going in, like, I figured most of the people that watch this show had probably not maybe ever seen PCO, at least probably not since, like, the 90s, maybe early 2000s. And then, like, obviously, Walter was a very heavy favorite for, like, every, the best wrestler of 2017. So a lot of people knew what they were getting with Walter. They were like, oh, well, it's Walter versus this old guy. So, I mean, it's probably going to be okay. And, like, our little bubble that knew of PCO was like, oh, it's probably going to be pretty good. The PCO revival, he's been on fire. And then it even blew away those expectations.
Right. Yeah, this match, it was interesting because Walter, who is really just this overbearing presence. He's this guy that in a match, because he's so much larger than basically anybody else on the indies, on a heavier level outside of Keith Lee, essentially, it is a match that really he has to play kind of this monster heel type character, which really worked out well for what PCO was, is that he's this, super tough, 50-year-old guy who is just a workout freak. He is just an absolute freak of nature when it comes to that. Incredibly athletic for a guy both his size and his age. And he's completely unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do in a ring.
Absolutely. You have no idea what he's going to bust out.
Right. And so that really made this interesting from that aspect. But this was worked very, very traditionally, this match. It was Walter understood that his goal was to really just be this guy that's like, look, I don't want to hurt the old man. Because Walter is the one guy who's like, when you get in the ring with him, you really do kind of, he's someone you fear getting hurt because he is that big. He is that stiff. We have seen so many bleeding chests because of his chops, And so He even gets on the mic before the match. He's like, look, I'm giving you the option now. He's like, I don't want to hurt him. I'm giving him the option to now. And of course, PCO defiantly is like, no, that's not going to happen. And then it builds basically to this table spot. And, you know, and then from there on, it turns into this absolutely crazy, 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 crazy stretch run that I don't think anybody really expected, just how big, how the extent of this match was. But Tanner, kind of, you know, what do you remember in the lead off to this, kind of that part? Because I think it was very traditional. I think it was just a very just regular kind of like Walter control segment. PCO had a couple of shots here and there, but the first 10 minutes of this match is basically a setup for the stretch run.
Yeah, like, and before I get into that, you have to remember this match is taking place at 1:30 in the morning local time.
Yeah, the setting for this is insane.
Yeah, correct. It's yeah. Absolutely insane. And yeah, just like Tim said, the match had been built up as like this very basic, like kind of not letting people realize what PCO really was yet. Like he was just being worked over, you know, Walter hit a chop or two. Cause you're like, oh, this man's 50 years old. There's no way he's going to take, you know, a bunch of Walter chops, and good Lord, how everyone was wrong with that. But it's so crazy too, because building up to the table spot. Cause like I've seen PCO do like, his moonsault. He even busts out like a split leg moonsault occasionally, which is again insane. But like even him, every time he goes for it, I'm so scared, because when he goes for a moonsault, he kind of just jumps backwards off the top rope and then just flips in midair, as opposed right. to just flipping off the turnbuckle. And it's terrifying. Like it scares the hell out of me, because I just don't understand. Because I mean, yes, he is 50 years old, but the dude's also probably like 270 of like muscle, of like old man muscle. So it's like, how does that even happen? And then I mean, you just get all these cool moments and visuals in the match. Like I did not expect the match to have like this great of storytelling in it, just because again it was like the third match on a match of nothing but dream matches, also happening at 1:30 a.m. on Saturday. So it's like, how did that even happen? And then you get PCO match. I don't know what it is. Like the fact that the dude he's literally having like a second win career that I would only put like Tenryu on the same level of. Like Tenryu in the early 2000s is the run that PCO has been on in the past like 8 months probably. And I don't want it to slow down, because I mean I love it. It's so good.
Yeah, the thing is, you see a 50-year-old guy doing moonsaults, and the first thing people think about is Terry Funk when he's doing his crazy old man stuff. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, Funk was legitimately insane for doing what he did at 50 with shot knees and just a beaten down body for 35 years. But I think what really added to this, like, you know, I mentioned it, you know, a few minutes ago, but what really added to this was the unpredictability of PCO, in the sense that there was kind of this aura around this match that really you could expect anything to happen. And I mean anything to happen, because PCO works that hard and does things to just this incredible extent to really show A, how hard he works, and B, to try and put anything over as best he can.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one thing that I think everybody talks about from this match is the chop exchange, right?
Yeah.
So 15 minutes in, it basically turns into this thing where, you know, Walter has absolutely just bruised up PCO's chest at this
point.
His
chest looks like a burn victim. Like, that's no hyperbole. Yeah. Like, it looks like it has been burned.
And all of a sudden, you know, he takes a chop and he fires one right. Like, what's insane is that you're just seeing it, like PCO taking a chop with his chest that way and like not hesitating and firing off one back at Walter. Like when I saw that, you know, it was only 10:30 for me out here on the West Coast. I was just like, what the hell? And then they do the Kobashi Sasaki chop exchange, and you're really buying into it, just like you did that. Although that was more dramatic, and that wasn't nearly as you know, the Kobashi Sasaki exchange was basically 3 minutes of an exchange that wasn't rapid fire. It was very dramatic, and they really laid into each other. This was freaking super fast, super hard, and they literally just laid into each other for a good 30 seconds, and it popped the crowd like mental. Like it, like, and I remember just seeing this wide shot that's now the famous shot, and everybody getting up on their feet and watching this and going crazy. And I was just in awe. Like I'd never thought that was going to happen. And here's the crazy part is watching that, you're thinking, who the hell can get into a chop fest with Walter? Oh, PCO.
And make it believable.
Yeah, you're damn right. No, and I just sit there going, like, what? How can you do that? It's Walter. It's a guy who literally, his gimmick is, I will chop you until you're bleeding from your chest. That is his gimmick. And it's just, it's insane. And that is the moment, if you're thinking about, like, the psychology of this match, that's the moment where you realize, oh shit, PCO has a chance to win this thing.
Yeah. Like, no, it's insane. Like, kind of like how you were saying, PCO makes you buy into all this stuff. We haven't even mentioned the PCO produced hype videos that he created.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
In the build up to this match, like, I feel like it's kind of like, I don't want to say a meme, but it's like, it's been passed around Twitter of him cut the deck of him ripping a deck of playing cards in half. And like, he did one where he's getting hit in the chest with a frying pan, and then he takes the frying pan and folds it. And he's like, what? Cause he's like very, obviously very French Canadian. He's like, Walter, and like, just like talking all this shit, like spitting everywhere. It rules. And like, you're watching the videos, because I think PCO before WrestleMania weekend probably had 500 Twitter followers. It wasn't many.
Yeah.
And like after WrestleMania weekend, I think like he's over 2,000 now, I think.
Yeah.
So like people really bought into like the shit he was putting out. And I think it's showed too, since post WrestleMania weekend, after that performance, he's gotten a lot of bookings. Like, you know, he just worked this past weekend. He just worked AIW. He worked Black Label Pro again, which kind of, you know, was the promotion that all this really started. He's working Janela at Game Changer. He's working Walter again in Canada. So
oh,
it's
God,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's getting a lot of bookings now, and it's cool because it's not just like he's a gimmicky old guy, which to an extent he is, but it's like an old guy that can still go like a Terry Funk or like a Tenryu or even like an Akiyama even now. It's like he's believable because he's like just so big.
And that was the biggest obstacle that this match faced, was the idea of how do you, you know, PCO is a guy that you bring in on a show like this. The year before, you know, Spring Break 1, he had Dan Severn against Matt Riddle, you know, and that was a good match. But Severn is as believable as he is. You're kind of wondering what the performance aspect of a match with Severn was going to be, and it was fine. But you're looking at a guy like PCO, who's just a few years younger than Severn is. But like, it's a completely, completely different animal. He really did everything he could in the match to stick with Walter, which Walter is at the peak of his powers right now. And to do that with a guy who might be the best guy in the indies is pretty insane. But the other thing that I think a lot of people I think are underselling here is Walter being from a psychology standpoint and from a helping, you know, with the match setup standpoint, is giving PCO that much. Like, Walter did not have to do that. This could have been a 15-minute squash match with some hope spots. Instead, he goes 50-50 with PCO. And then the stretch run where he takes all of PCO's crazy old man offense, and then PCO hits the cannonball and wins.
Yeah.
Like
that's... that's unheard of. I mean, Walter, just look at what's happened since WrestleMania weekend. Like, Walter's PWG champion now. Like, imagine 10 years ago, like, PWG champion losing to old 50-year-old WWF guy. That didn't happen. But now it's like, it happens. But it's so weird because I don't know if any other wrestlers could really pull it off as well as PCO, mostly because, I mean, PCO obviously still athletic, still, you know, jacked for 50 years old, but like there's not many, because he's just obscure enough but was still kind of a name enough to make it believable, because obviously he's the guy, like, you know, trained, you know, Steen and Generico and all those guys, wrestled those guys in IWS years and years ago. So he kind of had a little bit of indie cred, and it was really just the perfect mixture of all that stuff that made this match what it was.
Yeah, and I think that given time now, it's been a couple of weeks since the match happened, it is still the most memorable non-WWE match, to us at least, of the weekend for sure.
I can't think of anything that's close outside of probably Ospreay Riddle, which I would guess would probably been the other match that was even in contention for us.
That or Riddle Suzuki at Bloodsport, which I think was a match that really showed off just how great the, you know, Minoru Suzuki can be, and would have been an interesting conversation on the Matt Riddle people want him to be, quote, versus the Matt Riddle he is. Yeah. In fact, those two matches versus Ospreay and Suzuki, you could do a freaking term paper on that. But yeah, this match coming out of it, if people are thinking about the weekend, and there are people who are just true work rate guys who are just like, well, you know, as far as work rate goes, I don't know, it wasn't as good as match X. It wasn't as good as the Lucha tag at the WrestleCon Super Show, or it wasn't as good as Ospreay Riddle or what have you. But there is something that this match has, and we've talked about on this show, we talked about it with Kendori Hokuto, is there's just something that this match that can't be duplicated. There's something about the two guys in the ring, what they brought to the table. There's the crowd. There's just the environmental aspect of it. There's just, you can't really duplicate what happened in this match. It is a completely unique set of circumstances that made the match what it is. And, you know, I do feel that I think it's really interesting to think now, like, how we kind of didn't see this coming. We all wanted it to happen. We all wanted PCO to go out there and have a great match, because we kind of bought in. Like you said, we knew a little bit about what this comeback was, what meant for him and what he had put into it, but we didn't expect this. And I think that, I think it's a real testament to PCO and Walter's, you know, abilities, especially Walter's, for putting on a match like that to really show you just like, yeah, I don't care what the circumstances are. We're going to put on something that people won't forget, and mission accomplished.
No, I mean, absolutely. And again, like, talk about the absolute, I don't know, professionalism of Walter, like, not only going out there and, you know, letting PCO get his shots and going 50-50 with, you know, PCO, but also laying down for PCO is kind of like, I don't know. It just shows like the class Walter has. Like, you always hear how, you know, like, he's, you know, obviously he has a lot to do with WXW. He's head of the school there and does all that. But it's cool for him to like come over to the States and put over a guy that doesn't really need to be put over to an extent, because I mean, he is older, but also just for the cool like nostalgia factor of it. Like, I my dream for this is PCO gets a spot in 16 Karat next year. That's obviously the hope, is give him a run with the title. I don't give a shit, but it's still cool to see that in like 2018, that still happens. Like, guys doing that. There was a good bit of that WrestleMania weekend. Like, a lot of established guys losing to like, not necessarily not established people, but people that were definitely on a pole or, you know, down a tier or two from them. Like, there was a lot of, it happened last year at WrestleMania, but I think for sure it happened a lot more at this year's WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, that was something that I think was really become the story of WrestleMania weekend to an extent, is matches like these that really give a person an opportunity to shine against someone who's more established in order to build themselves a case literally for the next year. It's essentially become an indie showcase tryout to an extent. And I joked how PCO just earned himself a year's worth of bookings after that match. And I don't see how that's not the case now. He, like you said, he's getting booked all over the place, and it's become a situation where he has all of a sudden become this hot indie commodity, which is so weird and so cool to say. He is without a doubt the most unique guy on the indies right now. And there is part of me that hopes that, yeah, he gets some higher profile opportunities off of this. And it seems like that's the case. So one thing I do want to mention is, the post-match, which I thought was maybe my favorite thing in the entire match, to be perfectly honest with you, where Walter kind of defiantly chops PCO. PCO, without missing a beat, chops him right back, and then Walter extends his hand as a show of respect. I popped so hard for that. I thought that was some of the coolest freaking tough guy bullshit. Like, you want to talk about a guy who's tough, like Walter doing that. Like, I don't know if that was planned. I kind of feel like, I don't know if they called an audible on that, but it's like, that was seriously one of the coolest moments of the weekend for me, just seeing that, because I was just overjoyed that PCO had that moment, and that was kind of like, okay, it's like, you got it. Walter's like, okay, old man, you freaking showed it to me today. That was something else. And man, that was just, it was really cool. I can't think of another like sign of respect. Like that meant like that the bullshit, everybody handshakes after, an indie match, a mutual respect type stuff. Like that was a great match, whatever. Like that was more than that. That was a, you showed me what you had. I didn't think you had it in you. And that really meant something. Like there was something behind that handshake. And it really was cool to see.
Oh yeah, no, I mean that had completely flown over my head just because so much happened in this match. But yeah, that part definitely reminded me of, there's this match that happened at a Fortune Dream show a couple of years ago where Sekimoto, like all four guys in the match, bow right in front of the commentators table where Kobashi's at. And then they all just start chopping the shit out of each other right in front of the commentary table. This reminded me of that to an extent, because it's just like, I got respect for you because, you're just this super, you're the epitome of professional wrestling and toughness. And that's kind of what this felt to me. Like PCO's like, yeah, I can take another one. It wasn't a fluke win. Chop me. And then PCO fires one back and then they just shake hands. I mean, it's really a feel good moment, as weird as it sounds, with a bloodied and bruised PCO. But yeah, it was a feel good moment for sure.
Yeah, there was that was something that just, it sticks with me. Like, I think that's just really freaking cool that Walter and PCO showed their respect that way. And I didn't even think about that. That's actually pretty cool that they did that for Kobashi in that show you mentioned. So, I think that if we wanted to pick, like, I'm trying to think of what I think the craziest thing PCO does in this match is, and just the whole slew of it. I think the moonsault to the outside is what people kind of pick because of the danger, right? It looks like he kind of, like you say, he undershoots because he doesn't actually try and flip. He just leaps backwards and then does a flip. Is that the spot for you? Because I think the split-legged moonsault, that was crazy. I think that was very crazy. I think the cannonball he hit was pretty flush. That looked like a shoot cannonball. So, like, what was your favorite spot from this match? What was your craziest PCO moment from this match?
I don't even know if it's a spot, because it's really not. But just the fact that Walter chops him, like, 60 times, and he's just like, sure, give me more. And, like... Right. I've worked in hospitals and stuff, to see, I didn't know people's skin could turn that color from another person's hand. It's his profile picture on Twitter, obviously, because it's PCO. But I mean, his chest is just like black, not purple, black. And then on the outside, the outside ring of it is purple. And then there's another layer of it that's like this blood red. And then also his nose got bust open somehow. Who the hell knows? But so he's like bleeding from the nose. Just disgusting looking chest. And it, like, that has to be the craziest thing that happened all weekend to me, just because, like, I mean, I expected PCO to take his licks, but good Lord, like, I've never seen Walter do that to anybody. Like, even like in the Dragunov matches, like, you know, Dragunov, he has the battered chest, but it does. Dragunov's fairly pale, doesn't even compare to what Walter did PCO's chest.
Yeah. And then, of course, the next morning he shows a picture of his chest and looks like everything's fine.
Yeah, so, I have no idea how that happened. I thought that was going to like scar, just because, I mean, you know, obviously being older with the tissue doesn't heal as fast, and then it's just got practically gone the next morning. It's like, well, okay, you're obviously Superman or something.
PCO is a freak of nature. So there was one part in the match. So he one of his famous spots that he did back in his WWF run was the somersault plancha to nowhere, where he literally would do a somersault plancha and splat on the floor. He'd take a bump on the floor off it. And he did it in this match, but he hit it. He didn't miss it on the floor. But I had this feeling that he was going to try and take a bump on the floor like that. And I think if he did that, I would have literally leapt out of my bed. I would have just gone crazy that a 50-year-old man would have done that. But the punishment he took from Walter, I think we're still kind of underselling it to an extent. I have no idea. See, that's the other thing about this, and this is why I think this match is going to stick with us for a while. It's like, there's also this part of me where PCO was like, yeah, it's like he took a lot of punishment, but he's just like walking around cracking jokes while he looks like he's been beat up to death, and like just chilling and chatting with the boys, and the boys are like, wow, like what the hell was that? Freaking like what, like I have this feeling like he just like went to the back and everybody's like, how do we follow that? Like how do we, like, Quackenbush and Star are back there going like what do we do? Like how do we do it? And they had a good match after this, but yeah, like, I just think about what everybody who is you know, a part of that event, part of Spring Break 2, thought of PCO just walking back there and be like, yeah, that just happened.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean, it's absurd. The whole match, the match even happening is absurd in itself, and then it going out, destroying all expectations for it, legitimately probably being one of the 5 to 10 best matches of the weekend, including WWE stuff. It's crazy. Like, just the fact that it even happened.
Yeah. So that match is going to stick with us for a while. You said 16 karat gold earlier. Have a feeling there might be another tournament coming up in August he might be a part of. At least I'm hoping.
The dream, right? I mean, that's obviously the dream. This isn't the tournament in August, but I just remembered he also got a King of Trios booking out of it.
Yeah, him and Ray Bucanero and what's her name? I forgot. Another pirate themed, the woman wrestler whose name I'm forgetting right now. But yeah, there are pirates.
Who else was in it. Yeah.
So
I said I couldn't tell you who else it was. I just know it was PCO that got did working King of Trios.
Just tremendous, absolutely tremendous. So, you can find this match. It's on. You can watch it on Fight TV. I think you might actually be able to download it off of maybe High Spots has it, but I'm not sure. There'll be a couple avenues that have it, but it's, you know, it's Joey Janela's Spring Break too. I have a feeling if you're listening to this podcast, you watch the show, but just I think it's worth rewatching. Just
absolutely.
It's a match that you're really going to get a lot out of. And, man, PCO 2018, let's go. I mean, like, he's very much putting together a resume that will probably be the most unique resume for professional wrestling in 2018. And I can't wait. This is great. So,
absolutely.
Oh, man. Tanner, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Tanner1495. I also co-host another podcast called the All You Can Hear podcast that's about to celebrate its 1-year anniversary. You can find us on Twitter at AYCH Podcast and all your podcasting services.
And then you can find me at Mr. Tim Livingston and also follow at PPW Petaluma. We have our big show coming up on May the 4th. That's just under 2 weeks from now. And you can get tickets online. Go to Facebook and search for PPW Petaluma. And you can, if you're in the Bay Area and you want to come see some professional wrestling, head on out to the Phoenix Theater in Petaluma and catch a show where I will be doing commentary with my buddy from Segunda Caída, Eric Ritz. So, Tanner, good show, man. Glad to revisit the renaissance of PCO in professional wrestling in 2018.
Oh, absolutely. It was a blast.
All right, man. We'll be back next week with our WWE pick from WrestleMania weekend.